This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's 11 p.m. on The Fan in New York. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson, checking in for the last hour of my five-hour KM to AM. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. Thanks for watching online. We are approaching 1,900 live viewers on the interwebs. 888-808-1019. It's open mic time. Whatever you guys want to talk about in the wide world of sports, we can discuss. Jarvis is up in Harlem, back on The Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you?
What up, bro?
Nothing much. I just want to talk about the Jets and the Aaron Rodgers, which they did. I think the Jets did the right thing to let him go, because all these Aaron Rodgers apologists and, you know, that it was a mistake that, you know, Woody Johnson made a mistake to let Aaron Rodgers go. But all these Aaron Rodgers apologists, we don't know what we're going to hear from Chris Amato. We know Chris Amato go after your show. We're going to hear his reaction, because he has a different take about it, because he,
I'm looking forward to hearing Chris's show tonight. I didn't catch it, but I do see our little write-ups. I think that, you know, Chris thinks this is the wrong idea. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. From what I gather, C-Mac, who is coming up next, thinks that the Jets are making a mistake and this is the wrong idea. And obviously, most people are going to think, hey, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback here to get this new head coach started off on the right foot. But, like, man, read between the lines. See the forest through the trees. If this new head coach really wants to come in and be the man and change things, you got to move on from Aaron Rodgers. That's Rob Saleh. That's Joe Douglas. That's the old regime. And if this guy does not want to give up something as simple as appearances on Pat McAfee and trips in the offseason, then I don't know what to tell you. 888-808-1019. I think that they're, you know, they had to make this move. And who knows what this Jets team is going to look like. It's about the roster. And they told you that. It's not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about the roster. Val is up in the Bronx on The Fan. Go for it, Val.
Cheers. What's good, King? How you doing, my man?
Hanging in there.
Yo, I wanted to talk some NBA stuff with you. You know, I heard you say some stuff with the baseball stuff with our Yankees. I'm going to leave all of that alone. You're perfectly right on a lot of the stuff that you talked about with the, you know, just let it play out. We got our own business to deal with. But, you know, spring is going to come and it's going to start making me feel a little bit better when I start seeing some things and start getting a feel for it. You know, the Stanton stuff is kind of interesting, and I'm just hoping that it just gives some other guys, now you got notice. Maybe they're just doing that so they can get a chance to get a feel for and play more guys as far as some of the younger kids to maybe get a feel for what they're doing to see if maybe they can contribute and help, you know? So I'm gonna let the spring tell me something, you know?
As much as I'm concerned about the Yankees, I've said it multiple times tonight, it's February 17th. If the Yankees start to see these split squad games and start to see, man, there is not much of a threat, they have the power to make a move. They have the power to add another bat or another player. It ain't over yet. This isn't the team that we have to start the season with. They can make trades. They can sign somebody. I don't think they will, but.
You're perfectly right. You know, I'm just, fingers crossed, I'm just hoping both teams make it through the spring, because I can tell you one thing. It sounds like it's going to be a heck of a season this year. Y'all gonna we're going to have some good radio on the fan this season, because it's going to be some nice stories. I'm just hoping everybody makes it through healthy and we get the season started up right, you know? But to get to where I really call with the NBA stuff, you know, I want to make some – I want to talk about the All-Star game a little bit, but I also want to make a comment or two about Draymond Green. Because this weekend he made – there were twice I heard some sound bites from him, and I actually saw it, you know, with I think it was a podcast he was talking on, and then I saw some – I was actually watching – and saw some of the comments he had when they kept going to the podium and stuff like that during the game yesterday. And, you know, and while I agree with one of his takes, I have a problem with him, because on the first hand, you know, he's talking about, like, there was one soundbite where he was talking about the game getting boring and him not liking the product and stuff like that. I think that right there is really, and I always had a problem with him being kind of like a pseudo, you know, cheap trick kind of player sometimes. The problem with him is that the game is actually aging him out. And the things and the attributes that make him, you know, have an impact on the game are slowly starting to, like, that kind of cheap trick and that kind of, like, you know, overly aggressive defense and, like, you know, acting out and acting wild and trying to get in people's face. The game is moving away from that a little bit. And I think as he gets older, it's getting harder and harder for him to move with the where the game is right now. And that's why he's saying that stuff. And as far as the comments he made, when he said about, you know, the All-Star game sucks and all that stuff like that, you know, a lot of people got behind it because we all feel like that. But at the same time, and he did make some good points, you know, like they kind of made a joke now of, like, the scoring title in the All-Star game because, you know, they just mess up the whole game. You can't say things like you could try to go after Kobe's record or go after, you know, Jordan's record when he did it because, you know, the way they structured it now, you don't have the opportunity to do that. But at the same time, you know, Draymond and a lot of the players are the reason why it got to where it is right now, because they kept showing up and not playing at all. And it got to the point, I personally feel, where Adam Silver was like, fine, y'all don't want to play, I'm just going to go out and just break the game altogether. The one thing I will say, I don't ever like to be one of these people that just complains about stuff and doesn't come with a solution. And I'm going to give full rights. I don't want to plagiarize anybody. I heard this said on the Saturday Night Overnight show with our young Al Cintron. Him and Rami were talking about something, and they actually suggested something that I think made a lot of sense, especially in light of what just happened in the NHL. Nowadays, considering how many stars you have that are actual international stars, some of which are actually, you know, top five or being mentioned top five in the league right now, I think, you know, with what you saw from the NHL, part of what gave it that, or is giving it, you know, as far as the four nations face, or part of what's giving it that actual oomph for the players is the fact that they got their national colors on. It's at the point now where you have enough international players where they can change it to maybe making it USA versus the world.
It used to be that.
But, you know, if they did something like that, I think now you have so many international players. I mean, you got Giannis, you got Gilchrist, you got Joker, you got Wembanyama, you got, like, they have Siakam. They have enough of a depth to say that they could call up an international team and actually, you know, call up a USA team, and it would be a competitive game if they could manage to get the players to buy in. And maybe if they put on the uniform where it was like USA, you know, you got the American flag against, you know, the rest of the, because the rest of the world, when they go to the Olympics, you know, while they have been getting slowly more and more competitive all the time, it's almost expected that the USA wins. If they get to team up, maybe they have a chance that, you know, they could show out on us.
Didn't the women play the USA team versus the rest of the WNBA All-Stars, and then they lost to the rest of the WNBA All-Stars this past year?
I don't want to comment on that one because I think I heard something like that, but I didn't actually watch that one, so I don't want to comment on that. But maybe they did, and who knows what kind of enthusiasm that got for them. I'm just saying, like, Not to say cheap shot and just follow what the NHL did, but it's a good idea.
I remember watching some of that. Team WNBA beat the United States Olympic team 117-109 during their All-Star game last year, and it was a good game.
So there you go. Maybe it might bring some, you know, the real thing is to try to get something to motivate the players to play. You know what I'm saying? Because the fans want to watch an All-Star. I've said it before. The NBA has a chance to be, like, the best or most relevant All-Star game if they could just get the players to play. You know what I'm saying? And it used to mean something with the East versus West because it was different styles of play back in the day.
Yes.
When I was a kid, the West was, like, known for, you know, their running gun, their, you know, their fast breaks and stuff like that. The East was known as a tough league where, you know, and it was a thrill at the end when you saw the All-Star game.
When I talked about this earlier, Val, what I said is, players leave these teams, coaches get fired. There's so much turnover and change. Back then, it wasn't. Back then, these players and these coaches stayed on these teams and represented these teams for 5 years, longer, where like you knew who was who and what was what. Now, they're changing every couple seasons.
There's something to be said for that, but I think a lot of it, too, is that the players actually started changing. Players change conferences a lot more now. And even some of the things that made the conferences different back in the day don't really hold true. Because when the West started coming up was when they started playing defense, not as hard as or as much as it happened in the West, but they could play this first. That's actually when Golden State became good. When Steve Kerr got out there and kind of gave them a defensive mindset. Same thing with San Antonio. So, you know, those kind of arguments don't hold true anymore. You know what I'm saying? And players shift around to your point, like you said, where like those allegiances don't really exist. But maybe, like I said, USA against the rest of the world, you have enough players now to make that an interesting thing. Like, it might actually blow up and be a good game. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for taking the call, Fessy. You have a good one, Doug. Stay up, Doug.
Appreciate it, Val. I just, you know, I started off the show tonight saying, I'm not trying to fix the NBA. I'm an NHL fan now. So, like, I just do away with it. I think KD had a tweet that was like, you know, I think people just hate, you know, the NBA more than watching it. Just do away with the All-Star game. We don't need it. Let these guys go on break and have nothing for a week and let them go on their vacations. Let them rest. They've tweaked and changed it so much. It's nonsense. Even the, like, skills competition with Chris Paul and Wemby trying to cheat the system. And then, like, they wouldn't interview him. It's just, it's a joke. It is nothing that we really care about, and it is not what it once was. All-Star Weekend used to be a spectacle, and it's gone. But so what? Things change. Everything has changed. Life has changed. Things have evolved. And the NBA may not figure out how to get back to having a good All-Star Weekend. They may not find a way to incentivize these players, and so what? I don't care. I'm straight. Like I said, I watch the three-point competition. I always like to see who can shoot off of those racks, right? Tyler Hero's first round wasn't that solid, and as soon as I see Hero, I'm like, this guy's used to coming off the screen and popping. He's used to dribbling and getting his shot, getting open and popping. This rack stuff is different. And I think Ali LaForce asked him that question, and then he ended up winning it. And then after that, I didn't watch too much else. Like I said, I got in bed, and when I saw the Brady Kachuk versus Sam Bennett fight, I'm like, damn, why was I watching this right away? And I kid you not, I got out of bed. My wife was sleeping, so I went to the living room to the 75-inch, and I'm like, this is hockey. Like, I don't like watching hockey on my phone. I'm like, I want to see this as big as I possibly can. And even my wife was like, you got up last night to go watch it? I'm like, yeah. After the three-point contest was over, and I realized, oh, they're really competing. They're really playing. Like the Canadians booed the national anthem. They're fighting right away. I'm like, I watched that entire game until empty net goal, until it was wraps. And I'm glad I did, because it's competition. That's what we watch sports for. And it's even better when it's a nation versus a nation, right? Our neighbors to the north versus, I don't know, I thought it was good. And so that's why I don't care about changing the NBA. I can watch the NHL now, and I'm happy I'm a hockey fan now. Because I came to WFAN, I picked up the NHL, and if I wasn't here, I probably wouldn't even have checked it out, or wouldn't have cared so much, or wouldn't have known the players. Like, now, at least I've been watching four years of hockey. I know the players that are out there. On the Canadian team, Connor McDavid, everybody knows him, Sidney Crosby, and then also the guys on the American team. It was electric. It was theater. I'm excited for Thursday. Thursday, the NBA will go back to their regular hooping and shooting threes and not playing defense. It'll be an absolute war. Those Canadians are going to want their get back on American soil. It's going to be something to watch. If you're not that into hockey and you want to get into hockey, you get playoff-level hockey, playoff-level intensity this Thursday at 8. Phil is in Sheepshead Bay on the fan. What's up, Phil?
Hi, Pete. I want to speak to you about Marte. I believe Marte, even at 36, he had his groins operated on. I think he's valuable as a DH. If you remember last year, J.D. Martinez played half a year where he was good. The other half, he didn't even know he was there. This guy, Marte, I think he has a lot of pop in his bat, and he's a streaky hitter. So if he stays and they don't trade him like they think he's going to the Yankees, which I thought was a joke, because they're not taking Stroman back, the Mets. So I want to hear what you have to say about that, and I'm going to hang up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Have a good evening, Pete.
Thanks for the call, Phil. I think he called me Pete, but it's fine. You know, I don't care if you know my name or not. Enough people know my name. Eventually, I don't know, I'm 4 years in. I got to do another 4 years before they...
Do we? You look like Hoff.
Maybe
fine.
I'm Pete Hoffman, Pete McCarthy.
You look exactly like
Keith, it rhymes with Pete, whatever. The call and what he talked about is what's important. Starling Marte, who I talked about, I like his attitude. Knowing that he was potentially going to be traded, the organization being transparent with him, he took it on like a pro. They're paying him $20 million. He definitely has value, if healthy. I think that Marte obviously is going to platoon with Winker, depending on righty or lefty. And I think he's going to be bought in. I think he wants to see this team succeed. I think he liked seeing the team rally and win. I think he's only wanted to be here and be a part of winning. I think he can help Soto out there in right field too. Like, I leaned on them being Dominican. They have a connection. They're this, you know, countrymen. I leaned on, Marte being professional. Other guys don't take that as well. So, yeah, there's definitely value for him. He's not getting traded to the Yankees. The Yankees aren't taking on Marte's contract at his age. The Yankees could have signed Marte when the Mets signed him and didn't want to. And with Montas going down, I don't expect the pivot from the Mets to be to go get Dylan Cease. I don't expect them. I think they're going to go with their internal options, because David Stearns told you a week or two ago that he feels really good about their depth, more so than he did at this time last year. And they have depth. Clay Holmes has looked good. You figure they're going to go Kodai Senga, who I hear Kodai Senga has looked good. And from what I've seen online, Kodai Senga, Sean Manaea, David Peterson, Clay Holmes, and then they said they were going a six-man rotation. They could just go five, but they have Paul Blackburn, Griffin Canning, Tyler McGill. And then if there's any young guy that emerges in the spring, they're going to feel like they're fine with that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Rich in Springfield, New Jersey. Rich, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing, man? I wanted to tell you this because before I get to my Juan Soto point, I was the actual caller right before your interview with John Heyman. We were talking about Juan Soto. We had a nice little back and forth, and it was funny. So when you took that interview with him, I just got to say, you were really great. You started the interview. You were unique. You were funny, lighthearted. And I just don't know, Holmes like needs Prozac or something, because he was so out of line with that. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
It kind of sucks that, like, and I look forward to running into John, one, apologizing to him, shaking his hand, and seeing how he feels now months later. But it sucks that I get, like, tagged as, like someone who's like, how do you feel about bullying an old man? I was like, I wasn't bullying an old man. That wasn't my aim. My attempt was, I'm a fan of John Heyman. I followed John Heyman before he unfollowed me on Instagram and blocked me on Twitter. And it is what it is. I get it. But, like, I followed him on Bleacher Report. He speaks on other radio stations, podcasts, and things. I had heard him do the same interview around Juan Soto for the whole week. So when Connor booked him for my show, I'm like, okay, it's Friday night. It's the end of the week. Juan Soto's not going to sign. Let me kind of, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, mess around with him, crack some jokes. And he was laughing at first, but then, it got sensitive, and I did not aim for it to be that. I did not intend for it to be like that. And I don't want to be known as like the guy that like insulted John Heyman, because I wasn't trying to. The stuff that I said, I didn't come up with. That wasn't original material. I didn't make that up on my own. That was stuff that I feel like is known. And even tonight, I laughed about, there's an exclusive interview with Jose Iglesias. Who got that exclusive interview? John Heyman. If I'm John Heyman, I'm leaning into it. I'm laughing like, yeah, you guys know I have a friend in Scott Boras, and I'm connected to Scott Boras. But whatever. It is something that, honestly, when I see John and anybody relay this message, if the New York Post are listening and hit some of his cronies or whatever that like all said I slandered him and how dare you, whatever, I will thank John, because that went viral. out of all of the conversation around Juan Soto on this station, that moment went viral. That moment brought in so many more people. I have over 1,900 people watching me live right now. I can't tell you how many people followed me or reached out. That clip got played on Part of My Take. It got played on other radio stations. Someone called Pete Hoffman's show one night and said, they're playing that clip nonstop in Boston. It went viral. So out of all of the talking that we did in this town about Juan Soto, Mets and Yankees, Keith McPherson got the viral moment thanks to John Heyman. So I thank John Heyman for that again.
Yeah, and you know, I don't even know why you would even have to apologize, because when he got all pissy, I was like, what is he getting so upset about? I didn't even know what he was upset about
either. I went live after it, and I'm like, okay. I tried to tell him, like, and you know what? I didn't realize it was the 2-year anniversary of the Arson Judge tweet, and I'm like,
right.
I'm not making fun of you for that, like. Like, get over that. That doesn't matter. Who cares? And then also, you know, you being connected to Scott Boras, who cares? It's funny. We're all fans of you, John. When he came on, I'm like, everybody right. knows this guy's name. But, like, you know what I learned? I learned a lot. And a lot of people in the industry reached out. And you can't joke with everybody. And even though I had met John a couple times, I think once at the Yankee Stadium media area and another time at MLB Network, we don't know each other like that. And I laugh. I joke. I don't take myself that serious. But I understand a lot of people do in this industry that, like, you know, writers, and they are important, and what they do means everything to them. So how dare I joke like that? But that was not my intention to, you know, make his voice crack. And I can't believe it. I'm like, what the? All right, good night, John. I'm like, I don't know. Like, all right, I guess that's over. Like, I didn't mean to come off as disrespectful. I was cracking some jokes. It's Friday night. We've been talking Juan Soto, Juan Soto, Juan Soto, Juan Soto. Like, I thought I could, like, take a different angle, but no, I won't do that again. I'll be yes sir, Mr. Dean Cain, sir, and straightforward with everyone.
Now, be yourself, Keith. Man, that's who you are, and that's why you're successful. Be yourself.
Yeah, you're right, Rich. So, I mean, thanks for bringing that back up. I haven't really got to lay out about it. I did it on a podcast once. You know, it is what it is. Like, I don't want to be labeled as the guy that, like made John Heyman crack or whatever, because, like, I respect his work, and I'm a fan of his. And when I do see him again, I'm going to walk right up to him. He might dodge me, but I'm looking forward to walking up to him and clearing the air. And I got to thank him. Like I said, like, there's no such publicity as bad publicity. That wasn't bad publicity for me. There were multiple people that were like, yo, who is this guy? Started checking me out. Like, oh, that was funny. Like, I can't do anything but thank him for coming on. And, you know, he made a drop for WFAN in a moment, and I was so excited when we booked the interview. That day, I was so busy, and Connor booked that interview. I was so excited. I'm like, we got John Heyman at 8 p.m. I did not know that my little, you know, even bringing up the Arson Judge thing, and then my little jokes about, like, yo, you're connected with Scott Boras. Like, what percentage do you get if Juan Soto signs?
Right, right, right. I laughed out loud with that. LOL, man. I was laughing out loud when you said that.
I thought everybody was in on those same jokes. I didn't come up with that. That's not original material. That is stuff that has been said and recycled. And like I said, now he's just perpetuating it with not Juan Soto, but a Jose Iglesias exclusive. Recently, he wrote that the Mets have the best lineup in baseball with Pete Alonso. There was an article about how it'd be a big mistake if the Mets don't bring Pete back. I'm like, I got to get an internship. Maybe John can get me an internship with Boras Corp. Let me stop joking. Let me stop the jokes.
And anyone that heard that has, you know, I had come away with that interview that it was all on him. Absolutely on him, because like I said, you're listening to that and you don't have any idea why he got so pissed off. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll be better. I'm working on it. What else you got?
Yeah, man. You know, well, getting back to Juan Soto, I really think, listen, as a Yankee fan, I wanted them to sign him. And that was basically the premise of the call before the John Heyman interview, that I, at any cost, I wanted him to open up the bank account, whatever, pay him whatever he wanted. I wanted him bad. But since it didn't happen, I think that Cashman has completely neutralized what the Yankees are going to lose offensively with Soto by, you know, bettering the pitching staff times 10, because they're not going to give up as many runs. The bullpen alone, they have the bona fide closer now. So I think that, you know, the Yankees, as far as, you know, losing Soto, have really neutralized that. And I think that you're absolutely right. The biggest gap we have is at third base. You know, but it's, I think it's a promising look to the season, Keith.
Yes, and I'm with you. Thanks for the call, Rich, and bringing up the old stuff and letting me kind of, you know, clear the air and lay out on that. And, you know, all of this is recorded on air and streaming live digitally, so people can literally see my reaction to all that, which is good. When I'm talking about the Yankees, it's compounded. There's layers, right? You don't make moves because of the moves that you made that are stopping you from making other moves. You traded for Stanton. You paid DJ. You know what I'm saying? You paid Carlos Rodon. Like, so, like, now that you're over the luxury tax from your own errors, like, you're going to let that stop you from building a better team when you got to the World Series last year. It's compounded. Judge is a year older. Cole is a year older. Stanton is a year older and not any healthier. Your championship window is closing. The American League is not going to stay down forever. It was down last year. It's not a guarantee that you're going to run through it. Stack the damn deck. Go for it now. Don't worry about a luxury tax. If you're over it by $4-5 million, be over it by $40-50 million. You made more money than you ever made last year. We are showing up to Yankee Stadium paying $2,000 to sit in the bleachers for the World Series. Go. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, let's get it, man. Another one. Another 5-hour KM to AM. Shout out to everybody that called, waited on hold, everybody watching in the chat. We just broke 2,000 people watching live online. Shout out to Paulie dropping the beats and playing all the clips and audio. Let's just take call after call after call because we're going to the end of the show. C-Mac is coming up next. Mello is in Orange County on the Fan in New York. Hello.
Hey, what's good, Keith?
What's good?
Thanks for taking thanks for taking the call as always. So, mm-hmm. So a couple of things. Why do I feel like you're panicking? Where, like, when has Giancarlo ever started off the season good with us?
No. It's not Stanton. Stanton just adds to it, right? Stanton, we this is same old song. We've been here before, and I said I'm not mad at Stanton. Stanton has gained immunity for what he did in this past postseason. I'm mad at the right. Yankees, where I'm like, bro, what do you expect? Like he's hurt. Now you don't have a DH, and you have another hole in your lineup at third base, and we're just going to say, oh, well, we couldn't move Marcus Stroman. We don't have the money to spend, and, you know, we changed the philosophy. The pitching is better. The defense is better. This should be good enough until we get into the season, and it's not. We forget that last year, even though they went to the World Series, even though they won a division, even though they were number one seed, man, there were stretches where they were losing to the Reds, losing to the Nationals, losing to the St. Louis Cardinals. June was a gauntlet. Like, I don't know if they survive all of that this year without having the ability to hit the home run when you need it or have a Juan Soto working at bat in front of Judge. Like, if Judge goes down, we're definitely screwed.
Hey, so I hate the one-to-one comparison, but I guess that's where we are right now. So entering the 25 season or ending it, Juan Soto had his best season ever. He hit 41 bombs. Aaron Judge hit 52 homers. He is our MVP, reigning MVP. And unless Juan Soto goes on to have a Hall of Fame legendary career, which, I mean, if he stays healthy, if Aaron Judge doesn't have the COVID season or the couple shortened injury seasons, he's probably going to be the greatest home run hitter of all time. So is that where we're at, where we're saying that Juan Soto is supposed to be that? I guess the contract's saying that he's supposed to be that. But we still have the best player in the game. He is on our team. Why are we so upset about anything that's happening with anybody else?
No, not so much upset, but just looking at the Yankees, like, have you done enough? Because now the bar is set really to World Series. All of these Yankee fans are expecting to be right back there and get some type of revenge against the other team that on paper is supposed to be there, the Dodgers. And if they come up short, we'll have to live with. We already have to live with all the questioning about Juan Soto. If they come up short of making the World Series, the question shifts to, can the Yankees ever get back to a World Series without Juan Soto? Thanks for the call, Mello. I'm not mad. I am super excited. I will be on a plane in a month to go down to spring training. I will do every single thing I can there. I will go to every game while I'm down there. If I can use any of my pulling connections to go see that new facility, I'm going to do it. If I can go rub shoulders with any of the players, manager, coaches, whatever, I'm going to do that. I love the Yankees. Like, I'm all the way in forever. Like, this is like this is something I was doing before you ever heard me speak on the radio. But I'm going to keep it a bean. I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Like, they got to the World Series with the tandem of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. That doesn't exist anymore. I don't know what they're going to be this year. In theory, the pitching is better. In theory, the bullpen is great. In theory, Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt and Jason Dominguez. But, like, what if there's another theory? It's baseball, Susan. It's hard. Guys are going to slump. Guys are going to get hurt. What if it doesn't just come together the way that you think? These are the Yankees. They get everybody's best shot. Every single year, I watch bums beat the Yankees. When they come to Yankee Stadium, they know they're on the greatest stage. When the Yankees come to their building and all the fans follow, now they want to play their best. They want to give the Yankees their best shot. So after the Yankees go to a World Series, I want to go back and I want to win it. But I can't look at this lineup. I can't look at this new team and say, yeah, I'm 100% sure that that's going to go down. I'm excited for the season. I can't wait to watch these games and get into actual games. But on paper right now, you have two holes. Stan, which you should be prepared for every year because you know he's hurt. And third base, which you just said, like, we can't get rid of Stroman's money. And, we got DJ LeMahieu and they're going to compete. And at first I was like, yeah, good. Competition is good for camp. But now I'm like, no, you need another bat now. And if you don't have that bat at DH, like, you have internal problems. You can't even say Trent Grisham will go to the outfield as the next guy. Trent Grisham just pulled a hammy. We don't know if he's going to be able to hold up. Oh, Ben Rice. Oh, Dom Smith. Like, no, the options that you have right now are not great. But I will come back to this. It is February 17th. That is all subject to change. 888-808-1019. Justin is in Floral Park on the Fan next.
What's going on, Keith? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thanks for calling again.
Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, listen. The Yankees aren't the Yankees. Let's be honest, Keith. They haven't been the Yankees since they won their championship in 2009.
I'm glad
when they went
I was
all
a
in.
Kid for it. They brainwashed the hell out of me. Like, I'm glad I was young for those times where I was just like, we go to the World Series every year. We're going to win. We got the best team. They're dominant. They're going to spend.
Yeah, man. I mean, they
they're
won.
They had the best players.
Yeah. They win. They just upgrade. They get Roger Clemens. They win again. They upgrade. They get Mike Mussina. It's just they don't do it anymore, Keith. It's the bottom line. And, you know, they can say all they want that they replaced Soto. You know they didn't replace Soto's production. There's just no way. Okay, so whoever they get in there, unless Dominguez turns into Juan Soto, like how Juan Soto was in 2019 when he led the Nationals to the World Series, and I think that's what they're banking on. And Keith, when was the last time, besides Aaron Judge, the Yankees actually developed a position player? Okay, it's
right.
Very rare they do it.
This is his third rookie year. He's going to be asked to lead off and play left field. Good luck,
right.
Kid.
I know. This is what I mean. For a team that went to the World Series, they got more holes than Swiss cheese, Keith. And I still think they're going to go to the World Series again because the American League is just not as tough as the National League.
So knowing that, I'm pushing all my chips in.
Exactly. 100%, Keith. And I don't understand why Cashman doesn't think this way. Why Hal, like you said, he made millions on top of millions of dollars at the World Series this year. Don't give me this bull crap that they didn't, because they did. I saw what they were charging. Okay, it was ridiculous. So stop acting like you're the Kansas City Royals or the Chicago White Sox of the world, and please act like the New York Yankees and get yourself a guy that can hit, because, you know, like you just said, Stanton's not going to be there, and I do not like what we got at third base. I really don't, and I don't know what the options are, because Nolan Arenado I do not like, and I didn't like Bregman either, like you said, with all the stats. So I don't know what the options are, Keith. You tell me. But they got to do something, because this is not a team that's going to beat the Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets, whoever represents the National League in the World Series. They got no shot. They'll get swept.
Thanks for the call, Justin. I'm not even worried about the World Series. They have to get there. I'm not so sure they get there. I watched for 15 years. They did not. I watched plenty of ALCS appearances, some outs in the DS, some wild I don't know, bros. I just am at the point where I'm like, you made a ton of money. Shout out to Hal. You told us we have more financial flexibility than ever. Then why are you scared of this luxury tax? We have more financial flexibility than ever. The options have run out. You got to go with these internal options. You won't eat money for guys that shouldn't be here. You can't pull the trigger on some trades because, you know, you can't lose a trade. I hope it's enough. I really do. I hope I'm dead wrong. I see my guy Milton. Milton, I still don't know why you hung up the phone. Milton and my guy David Rifkin listening to the show, they're like, you're sleeping on Cody Bellinger. He's going to have a great season. I hope so, man. I really hope so. I think Yankee fans are going to be really pumped about, you know, the new players on this team. But I just can't bank on that. I can't bank on that being enough. I got to see it, all right? I got to see it get done. Anthony in Brooklyn on the fan. What's up, man?
Hi, Keith. Great show. I had a question regarding third base. I have the same problem with third base. Boone said in his press conference yesterday that he's relying on DJ LeMay. He's our man. He's our man. Now, the question is, do you think that the Yankees are relying on Peraza as a third baseman backup, or maybe they should go ahead and sign a guy like Jose Iglesias, who personally I think would add a ton to the lineup and maybe be like a leadoff man? Do you think?
I think they're going to run the three of Cabrera, Peraza, and LeMayu all out there and collect the data and watch them closely and see who has the best at-bats, who fields the best, and they're going to name a starter. And I think that DJ, because of the back of his baseball card and his resume and who he was, he's got the lean because he's got the most experience. And if he looks healthy, if he looks like he can elevate the ball, they're going to go DJ LeMayu. And then we'll get into games, and when DJ is trash, they're just going to say he's right there. It's early in the season. It's cold outside. There'll be a bunch of excuses, and we'll be like, yeah, all right, whatever. I do not expect them to go sign Jose Iglesias. I said earlier in the show, he's too Metsy for me, and I know the Yankees are not trying to bring in the whole OMG Candelita gimmick. They're just not. Oh my God. They're not. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Like, I just don't think that at 35, right, they already have enough players 35 or north of 35 or approaching 35. I don't think they're trying to add another old guy that comes with the attachment of being Mr. Met. Oh my God. Yeah. Macarena, Macarena, Macarena. Dave is in Hartford, Connecticut. Dave, you're next.
Hello?
Hello, Dave. You're live.
Thanks for having me on. I'm just, you're talking about the hitting for a while now. What about the pitching? What are they going to do with the rotation? I like how it's looking, but how are they going to put guys like Will Warren in there? You think they're going to work people like that in the young guys?
Will Warren, if we're throwing Will Warren, we might be in some injury trouble. There might be good guys on the IL.
He's still young.
It's Garrett Cole. It's Max Fried, Luis Gil, Carlos Rodon, Clark Schmidt, Marcus Stroman, maybe Carlos Carrasco.
But maybe a spot start. I mean,
I can't worry about
spot starts.
It's a young guy. I can't worry about spot starts on February 17th.
Or like a relief pitcher. We need to start believing in the young guys. We're all with all these vets.
If you believe in the young guys, you're going to see a ton of young guys in the spring when these games start this weekend and beyond. You're going to see a lot of these young guys pitch. But as far as I'm not even worried about the rotation because they have proven starters. They have a Cy Young winner. They have a World Series winner. They have a Rookie of the Year winner. Like, they have enough in the rotation and the bullpen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about now the two gaping holes in the lineup and how much more pressure is put on new guys added and guys that have to stay healthy and prove it and young guys that we're expecting to be everyday players. Like, we are literally expecting Volpe and Wells to just shoulder the, yep, here, come on, guys. You guys are everyday starters. Play every day and perform. We're expecting that out of a rookie in Jason Dominguez as well. We're expecting that guys like Goldschmidt aren't too old and that Bellinger's first year here, he turns back into a better version. That all can happen, but that is a lot of variables to expect them all to click at the same time. I think it's more likely that it clicks with the pitching and the bullpen, that the run prevention and the philosophy change of defense has the Yankees in games that they can win 3-1, 4-2, 5-3 versus winning 8-6. Or 10-7, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm worried about, like, LeMahieu. I just feel like last year
right.
He didn't perform
at all. I'm worried.
What would he, like, batting 200?
If that. He was like, there were stats last year, and thanks for the call, Dave. I'm with you on LeMahieu versus the pitching depth. Like, they have guys in this bullpen they don't have enough room for, right? They just signed this Tim Matzek, you know, they have guys. They've been making all these little moves. I don't think they have enough room for guys in the bullpen. You know, on the 40 man, JT Brubaker is there. We forgot that they brought him along. 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, they traded for Scott Efros. We forgot that he still exists on this roster. They did bring Tim Hill back. Mark Leiter Jr. is there. Jonathan Loaisiga is going to be ready to go at some point. Like, they've got a ton of bullpen arms, and in the starting rotation, if they wanted to right now, they could go a six-man rotation. And then they did invite Carlos Carrasco to camp, who talked about everybody dreams of being a Yankee, not a Met. So here I am. I get my opportunity to wear pinstripes. I already did the, Mr. Met stuff. I'm over here now with the buttoned up corporate Yankees. Let's see it, man. I love the Yankees. I want to win. I want to dominate. I want to get right back to where we were. That World Series loss, it was tough. It sucked. And then everything after was trash. Being disrespected by the team that beat you, and then literally right after, minutes after the post game press conference, you have a player that hit the home run for you to get there talking about, I'm out. Basically, I'm available to all 30 teams. I got no loyalty here. It was a tough offseason, and they pivoted well. But C-Max coming up, and I listen to C-Max say Plan B sucks. You know when Plan B really sucks? When guys like Stanton are not available in the lineup. When Plan B does not see fit to go get an actual third baseman that can hit and play the position and saying, we got enough internal options. Like, Plan B starts to suck when you're like, if it ain't Judge and there isn't enough protection for Judge, who in this lineup? Like, Paul Goldschmidt used to be one of my favorite players to watch. I hope Goldie looks like Goldie, a professional hitter. But I can't bank on that based off of what I saw at the end of last year or parts of last year and his age. You know, I'm excited for the season, but I'm just not going to glaze the Yankees and be like, oh, here we go. World Series team losing Juan Soto. There's a silver lining. These guys are better without Juan Soto. You're nuts. Greg is in Aberdeen, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Greg?
Hi, Keith. Enjoy your show very much. I just have some issues with caller Justin, who said we don't develop any position players. Does he not realize we have a position player at shortstop? Does he not realize we have a position player as catcher? So his argument is out the window. Number two, he was belly aching. Oh, I don't like this player. I don't like that player at third base. If Mike Schmidt was there, he wouldn't like him either. So, I mean. We got to roll the dice. We'll see what happens at third base. Sure, I'd like to have somebody, you know, solidified there. But let's see what happens. We have some options. The pitching is great. We have an amazing starters, and we have a strong bullpen. So if we do halfway good job on the offense, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Greg. Good shape is not good enough. This is a team that has to get to the World Series and win, or it's not going to be good enough. We're going to have fun. We're going to go to the games. They're going to sell out. They're going to win. They're going to sweep some teams. They're going to obviously lose to some teams. But I'm telling you, the bar is raised so high. And as many Met fans are in the New York media, the narrative of the team without Juan Soto is going to hang over their heads. The only way, I heard Juan Soto talk about, right, the only way to deal with the hate in New York is to go out and win. On the converse, on the other side, right? Juan Soto knows he's got to go out there and they've got to win to silence anybody. Because Yankee fans, if the Yankees are winning games and the Mets are not, they're going to say, he picked the wrong side. We are better without him. On our own side, Yankee fans, if the Yankees are not winning and hitting and getting it done while the Mets are thriving, the narrative becomes, they're not better without Juan Soto. Will they get back to a World Series without Juan Soto? Josh is in Passaic on the fan. You're in there.
Hey, Keith. How's it doing? How's the weekend?
Good, man. Good to be back.
So, first off, what was your least favorite part of the All-Star game for that, or at least the All-Star festivities for the NBA?
I didn't watch the dunk contest. I didn't watch the game. I watched the three-point contest. I saw that kid beat Damian Lillard. I did not watch.
There you go. Good for you. You know, it's just funny, though, we're February 17th, 6 weeks away from the MLB season. You got Mets fans, you got Yankees fans ringing warning bells already on the season. You have one Yankees fan saying, we're automatically in the World Series, and we should get more players. And then he's complaining about Stanton. But if he's so sure they're going to make the World Series, that he should not be complaining about Stanton being injured now. and, you know, whatever, and people saying stuff, who knows, Keith? We'll just have to wait and see. Thanks for taking my call. Let's hope the Mets get Lance Lynn to replace Frankie Montas. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, maybe they sign Lance Lynn. I wouldn't do that. See what you got internally. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll do this again tomorrow. Same place, same time. 5 hour KM to AM, 7 to midnight. You bet. Coming up next, Chris McMonagle.
Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets. That's such a great drop. He's got you for the next 5 hours. I'm sure he'll hit on everything. I'll be listening to his show as I drive home and try to go to sleep. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for watching. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'm out of here. Have a good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN, New York.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.